Welcome to this week's episode of the Debt-Free Mom Podcast. Today, I have Jessica Lurch with me to talk about budgeting and finding tools that fit for her family. So welcome to the show, Jessica.
Thanks for having me.
So before we jump into budgets, could you give our listeners just a little intro, who you are, what you do, what does your life look like? So we have a little bit of a context around our conversation about budgets.
Sure. So I am married and I've been the primary budgeter in our family for like almost 15 years. We live in a rural area in Michigan, and I have three kids ranging in age from 5 to 12. I worked very part-time as a registered nurse, so like that financially comes with a lot of like flexibility. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less, but our basics of budgeting are based on my husband's paycheck, and he works in IT.
Okay.
So it's pretty stable.
Yeah, that's great. So you have two incomes. One of them is a very small, like supplemental kind of thing. And then your other one is your primary, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So today we want to talk about budget tools that you've tried in the past, methods that you've tried, and why those continually felt frustrating and then what you found instead. So can you first give us maybe just a high level view of a few budgeting tools or methods that you tried in the past? What have you tried and why did they feel frustrating for you?
Sure. So I have used a lot of methods like paper and pen. I've attempted to make my own Excel spreadsheet, and then I've moved on to the paid budgeting apps like Every Dollar and YNAB and Mint. And I've had frustrations with all of them that I think boil down to it's based on a monthly budget that hadn't reflected our paid schedule. Even the ones that I was doing myself, or when we hadn't used paid versions of those apps, it still was just a lot of, I had a plan based on what it looked like for the month. Like in our incomes, for the most part, I know it's sometimes there's a little extra with a supplemental income, but I would know this is my husband's salary. This is what is coming in this month. And I know that these are what our bills are. So theoretically, it should have worked really well to make a monthly plan. But then when the moving pieces start coming in, it would just fall apart every month. And then I would end every month spending so much time trying to backtrack and find all the transactions that got lost and match it all up. And then for whatever reason, not know where my money went and be like, oh, my plan said I should have this much money at the end of the month to send to savings, and I don't every month on repeat.
Yeah.
So it just really frustrating.
And a lot of times when we have a mismatch between our plan and what actually occurs in our bank account, the thing that takes the hit, so to speak, is our goals, right? Like we end up having, I thought I'd have 500, but I only have 200. And so the thing that we subtract from is, like you said, that savings transfer or that debt payment. And so that can lead to a lot of frustration because those are the things we focus on, right? Like those are the things we have a long-term goal for, as I want to have this much in savings by the end of the calendar year or whatever. And then month after month, if we're not actually hitting those projections, it really changes the timeline of what those goals are. That can be super, super frustrating. So I've known all of the apps you mentioned, and a lot of people find success with pen and paper. One thing I'm interested about is something you put in your application where you tried to get yourself a month ahead. Can you explain to people listening, what does that mean and what does that look like? What were you trying to do with that method?
Yes. So that was my first clue before I found you and before you like enunciated so clearly what the issue was. But that was my first clue that we were having like a life schedule that and a budget schedule that really didn't manage with a pay schedule. So the idea is that you get far enough ahead so that you have a whole month's worth of income in your checking account that you're like then starting to use. So it's September now. So I would have started September with all of August, the money we earned in August in my checking account. So then on September 1st, I could have just started with all of that money. And we actually did accomplish that. And I was so excited because I was like, yes, years of not being able to get it together. But now I have all of the income that I'm going to be earning in this month on the first of the month. So I can pay all of the bills and then I can transfer my money to my goals and I can actually physically find the amount budgeted for all of those more flexible categories. So then when the end of the month comes, my plan should have stayed on track. Spoiler alert, it never did.
So your main income is paid every other week. Is that right? Okay. Yeah. And then you were basically just letting that sit. So then during the month, like you said, you're using August income during September to pay for September expenses. So then during September, as paychecks get deposited, you are just letting them sit, so to speak, right? And planning for that in October. Okay.
Yes.
So on, again, in theory, that sounds like it would at least solve the problem that you were having with the other budget tools where those weren't lining up with your pay schedule. Like if you're using an app like Mint that only lets you budget, which RIP, Mint doesn't exist anymore, but I used Mint for a while too. And all you could do was budget for that current month. You couldn't do it by pay period. You couldn't look ahead at future months. So you should have theoretically solved that problem of having a mismatch between when the income was available and when your expenses were due, because now you're starting the month with exactly how much income you thought. Do you have any reflections or insights back on why that didn't work, even though it seemed like it should solve it? Could you pinpoint there was so much in the checking account that you were spending more, or was it just simply a continuation of that misalignment of when things were coming in and out?
So, yes, it comes down to like tracking and being able to personally keep my own, the flexible spending on track. So at the beginning of the month, we'd have all this money and it would feel like, oh, great. We've got all this money. I made my plan. So I know we've got money to cover everything that we're going to need to cover. So the little expenses like going over budget in the groceries or like driving through Starbucks or whatever, it would be just harder to feel like caring about.
And it's just much more difficult to when you feel like I have all this money and my plan is intact, so I'm good to go. It's just a lot harder to keep that sustained like focus for an entire month on, okay, I have to divide this amount by X amount of trips to the grocery store or whatever. So we would still run into like the bills that are due at the end of the month or auto deductions from our checking account, like the money would, which was just even more frustrating. So because the plan looked so pretty at the beginning of the month and really it should work. So eventually it really made me focus in on the fact that my behaviors aren't working.
Yeah.
How much of my life do I want to spend managing my own behavior with so much effort and so much focus? And this all took so much time to sort out, but that didn't translate to then I could just not think about it when I went on in my life. So then it was just constantly dominating every thought, every decision, and still felt so like in bondage to like money that I had or didn't have.
Yeah, I find that there's a huge roller coaster that you go on when anybody is trying to budget a month at a time. Even if you are the very disciplined, saver-minded, not known for being an overspender, there's just something about logging into your checking account and seeing multiple four figures in the checking account that changes the way we behave. Like you said, oh, one extra Starbucks run, it won't be a big deal. Or like when we need this, we'll just order it because there's just so much money available. There is something about if we allow the checking account to get so big that we feel untouchable, eventually we're going to remind ourselves that every single number has a bottom. It gets to a point where we've overspent, right? It's finite no matter how much we start with. I am not actually a saver minded. I'm much more of a spender minded. I found for myself when the pay schedule became shorter, and so the amount of money that was in my checking account got smaller, I just behaved in a more rational way. Instead of having this like really hot and cold, oh, the beginning of the month, we're just flooded with cash and we can say yes to everything. And then the consequence of that was that towards the second half of the month, then I'm like, no, we can't go anywhere. We can't do anything. And I have found that really the goal isn't to feel flushed with cash. Like, that's not the goal of budgeting. The goal is to have this even keel approach to our money where I'm not overspending because I feel like I have so much money. And then I'm also not having these moments in the month where I feel like, I don't know if I'm going to pay my bills or not. Right. And so I like to try to find budgeting ways to take out both of those extremes. I don't want to feel so falsely inflated with money that I start spending in a way I shouldn't. But I also don't want to feel like I have to completely deprive us of anything that brings joy for, you know, the last half of the month in order to make ends meet. I find a way to get back into the middle of that spending money that we do have, being okay with not spending money that we don't have, and then just making it through. And I think that those two things that you mentioned are very common patterns of when there's a lot of money available at one time, we behave differently. And then number two, 30 days is just a long time to stick to one plan. And it can start, it like money, our money is so tied to everything we do that even the best budgeter with the most detailed plan is going to run into an unexpected expense, is going to run into somebody got sick, is going to run into just a moment of like spontaneity or wanting to do something off plan during the month. And so 30 days is just a long time to be like, no, I have to stick to this one set of numbers no matter what happens during the month for anybody, especially when you add in kids and jobs, and it just is complicated.
It is. I'm a nurse, and for a period of time, like I would work 12-hour shifts, and it would work best, especially when it was at night, to work those three 12-hour shifts in a row. And three or four 12-hour shifts in a row is a really long time, especially if the first one is busy. But somebody that I used to work with would say, you can't think about all 3 days that are still coming up. Just remind yourself, you can do anything for 12 hours. Can't do anything for 48 hours or 72 hours or whatever. Just, you can do anything for 12 hours. And I think about that when you talk about like the even keel versus the roller coaster and like the shorter amount of time, like I can do this. I can keep this on track for a shorter amount of time. Like I cannot sustainably ride this roller coaster forever because that's crazy. Broken down into smaller chunks, just more even. We can keep the ship on course. Pick up a lot of analogies here, but just less wild swings and a shorter amount of time to pay attention to and focus on has been so much easier. Yeah.
Creating those natural like breaks or fresh starts where you say, I don't have to think of all three shifts as one giant block where I'm continuously working because that's not what I'm doing. And I can allow myself to say, I start and I end in these 12 hours and then I come back tomorrow, but I have a break between then. And I think that's what budgeting by pay period does as well, of instead of seeing the whole month as something that I have to continuously stay on point for, it's those smaller chunks of I can just focus on this pay period. And then when the pay period resets, I give myself a natural reset to say, okay, no matter how messy last shift got or last pay period got, I have a break between them and I'm going to allow myself to start fresh. I think running applies too. I just did a 10K on Saturday and it's the same thing of if you start running and all you're thinking about is all the entire length of time of I'm going to be running for the next hour and a half, it immediately feels too hard right at the very beginning. But if I just say, get to mile two and then get to mile four, and then as soon as you get in the back half, then you're like, okay, I'm over halfway there. So I think there is a whole body of evidence around the idea of people are better at sticking to something when they break it into smaller pieces. And that applies to our money too.
Absolutely.
Was the aging your money and trying to use last month's income for this month's expenses the last thing you tried before you found the debt-free mom template?
It was. And like, to clarify, like we still do that because in my efforts to like make it work, because I was so befuddled about why, like after all this time and all this effort, it still wasn't working. I had tried some things like a lot of our auto-deducted bills and things like that, just front-loading those at the beginning of the month so they would paid. And then that did help alleviate the running into, oh, oops, spent all of our money for the end of the month, but it still didn't feel great. So that was the last thing we tried. But really what happened was like, I was just so frustrated. I was like, whatever, I don't care anymore. Our bills are getting paid and all the other things are pretty flexible. So I can just manage them like from week to week as they come and figure it out. So there was quite a large, probably like a year or two of time between trying all the things and trying different things. Then I just was annoyed and frustrated. It was like, whatever, we aren't overdrawing our checking account anymore. We'll figure it out. But that feeling too, because the lack of progress towards goals set in, and it was like, we have a decent income. We're not destitute. Why are these goals not happening? And so then that's when I was like, oh, maybe I need to try budgeting again. And then I discovered your Instagram account. Interesting. for a while before I bought the template.
Okay, so you said you bought it last November, is that right? So coming up on a year, yep, recording so in September, so 10 months or so. So I'm curious what your thoughts were like the first time you filled it out according to pay period. What was it dramatically different or was it only slightly different? Like, how did it feel? Because sometimes people are filling it out and they haven't really been budgeting in any other method before. So it's just all brand new. But you were budgeting. You were considering yourself someone who wanted to pay attention to the numbers, know what your expenses were, know what your income was. So what was that comparison like between the experience of filling out an app, for example, and then instead filling out a spreadsheet that was exclusively looking per pay period?
So I loved it. I thought it was a great experience as a person who loves filling out spreadsheets, but not necessarily building spreadsheets from scratch. This was a perfect situation for me because I had tried like my own spreadsheet in the past, but I don't to make all the equations, stuff like that work. Technically, it was too much for me. So they would still be very labor intensive. But this one where I could just take information I already had and plug it in and then the math would be done. So I wouldn't have to spend so much time like doing arithmetic. Mm-hmm. The adjustments that I made were things that were actually useful information to me. Like I could play with, if I spend less here or if I set aside a certain amount for goals and I set that aside in our first pay period, I can see how that is going to affect the whole rest of my month, when the bills, when we need to save for these things, when extra money will actually be available to capitalize on. So it was, overall, it was really great. And it didn't take a couple of months to figure it all out and get it situated and working. And I think the first couple of months, I did try and budget it based on a monthly pay schedule, just to be able to keep track better. But it was very quickly after that, I was like, no, this is the thing that isn't working. So I would just pay ourselves like half of the amount. And then, so I have like a self-managed pay period, which
is working. It's working great now. Do half month at a time.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. Do you follow the bi-weekly like every other Friday or do you go like first and 15th kind of thing?
No, I do the first and 15th. It's because I had previously put so many expensive bills. You do in the first of the month. So
no, like I would not actually recommend anyone do that. It was a total waste of time. But now that I've done it, like the amount to go back and undo it seems silly. Yeah. So I just pay myself like 60 to 70% of our income in the first half and then the rest in the second half. And it works out great.
Yeah. I think when we switched from biweekly with Kyle's salary job over to following twice a month and following my variable income, I prefer biweekly, but I think I just prefer it because I did it for so long. So it was just like what you're saying with the same thing of like you had just done the month ahead, put the bills at one time for so long. That's just what felt more natural to the rhythm of your bank account. And so I think for people to realize that you have permission to come up with whatever funky method works for you, we have to let go of what the rules are on other tools or even what other people recommend and just be like, the main goal is that it works for you, is that you feel like the effort that you're putting in is showing rewards on the other side, right? That the progress you're wanting to make with the goals is actually happening and you're not feeling like you're spending too much time budgeting without seeing benefit. It's not, you don't want it to consume your mind, consume your life. That's not the point of it. And so if there is some MacGyver budget that you can come up with, like I've got this bank account for bills and this one for spending, and this is what I do, and whether it matches your pay schedule or not is actually beside the point, as long as you're feeling like, yes, this is the thing that is allowing us to see that progress that matches our income and all those things. And so I love hearing that you've piecemealed together a few of the parts that you liked about other things into this method that now works for you. And it doesn't have to match what anybody else does or match your pay schedule. As long as you feel like it's working for you, that's really all that matters.
That like as a very at times unhealthy Enneagram one who loves rules and needs all the rules, like it has been like almost like therapy really to be able to realize that you can just make rules that have flexibility. In your rules have to be based on other people's rules. And really, if the rules are dumb, you can just on with the self-imposed rule.
Yep. We get in that school mindset of there being like grades or awards for the things that we do or how well we follow the rules. And so it can be very hard, even well into our adult years, to realize I can break that rule, so to speak, and nothing bad's going to happen. I can hear a quasi-authority figure telling me that this is what I should do with my money. And for those listening, I'm doing air quotes, and not do it and be like, oh, I didn't do what they said, and I'm meeting my goals, and I'm feeling more free and flexible with my money. Maybe what they're saying is a suggestion that works for some people, and it's not a rule, but that can be really hard to get out of. And I think like for ourselves, I think as I've tried to come up with my own version of following my own budget that I put together as I put that spreadsheet together back in 2016 or 17 or whatever, was like, make your own rules. It is good to have boundaries. For me to say, this is what you can spend on restaurants in a pay period, and if you go over, it's going to impact your other goals, but have them be rules that match what my priorities are and match the way I'm wired or match what our pay schedule is, and that they don't have to make sense to anybody else.
They really don't. Like, everybody's priorities are different, and there's full permission to even let your own priorities like change with whatever life is lifing at the moment.
Yeah. I don't budget the same way now that I did 7 years ago. Like, I do things now with rounding, general, making more loosey-goosey tracking of my expenses that I just actually couldn't have afforded to do 7 or 8 years ago when I first started and we had debt and no savings and all of the things. And that's a good thing, right? Like, we don't want to stay the same. I don't want to get to 10 years from now and have my finances look exactly the same as they do right now. And that'll come along with benefits of being able to, whether it's increase a category or give ourselves more flexibility, make a larger budget buffer so we really only budget our bills or whatever it is. Like, we don't want our finances to be the same 10 years from now. So our methods probably aren't going to look the same either. So that's a good reminder to be flexible, both comparing ourselves to other people, but then also comparing us now to us, you know, in the past, us 3 years ago, us 5 years ago.
If you're not paid once a month, why are you budgeting that way? A monthly budget ignores the fact that sometimes your expenses are due before the next paycheck is available. A pay period budget is built around your unique pay schedules so that your money doesn't feel like a mess. Create an accurate, realistic plan for getting the most out of each paycheck. Get started budgeting by pay period today with the best-selling budget template and mini course from me, Debt-Free Mom. It's available for just $9 at debtfreemom.co/template. I spent years feeling frustrated that my money wasn't working the way it should. It wasn't until I discovered the magic of budgeting by pay period rather than by month that my money started to feel stable. Pay Period Budget Academy is my signature budgeting course that helps hundreds of women take control of their home finances. Join today at debtfreemom.co/PBA and use the code podcast at checkout to get 20% off your membership.
So yes, when you started using the template last fall, and I love that you mentioned that it took a few months to get into a groove, because that is expected. Like, that is what I would expect to see from anyone. It can be easy to do something for 1 month or one pay period and be like, oh, it was a mess, it doesn't work for me. But anything new is gonna take a while and gonna feel clunky, and we're gonna make mistakes at the beginning. So like with our template, with those six pay periods on one sheet, I always tell people, like, just go through those six pay periods, no matter how messy it is. And if at the end of that, you're still like, this absolutely doesn't jive with my brain, great, let it go and find a different tool. But sometimes we just have to put a bookend on, I'm gonna stick with it no matter how it feels in this little window of time, and then reevaluate. And sometimes it just takes those hiccups at the beginning to iron out what you want it to look like or how you want it to flow. Did you notice actual differences in progress on goals? Like, the numbers were actually changing on what was going to savings and staying in savings, for example?
Yes. So with the idea of aging your money, what I thought that would be like was almost like having an emergency fund, but isn't really, because I was like, there was always in the back of my head knowing, but this money is actually for like our normal expenses for next month. It's not It's not actually extra. It's not actually for an emergency. It's not earmarked for that. So that was, it was another point of tension where I was like, wait a second, I thought this was supposed to help and I don't quite know how I'm supposed to be integrating that. So it just felt like it lengthened the time of between paying and using, yeah, but not actually resulting in having an emergency, yeah, fund. So since we started using the template, we've paid off a credit card, established an emergency fund, which is quite small right now. And I would like it to be bigger, but it's working out okay because we've also been able to pay, like, I think you've used the term savings sprints, mm-hmm, some large, like we, our car insurance for one, and we heat in the winter with wood pellets. And so we like to buy them all at once, like right now. So a couple of like really large, very infrequent expenses that we've been able to budget ahead, mm-hmm, of time for, to pay for up front with like real money instead of credit, mm-hmm, card money, has taken the place of establishing an emergency fund. But still, like, we do have, mm-hmm, one with soap in it. We've paid those expenses and we've paid off a credit card. So it, like, to be able to see the progress on the spreadsheet, be able to be like, okay, this month I only had $50 to send to my emergency fund, but this month I had $500. Like, it adds up, and it's just, when you break it down, it's less overwhelming to begin with, but also like less demoralizing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're looking back and being like, oh, maybe that didn't really feel like much in the moment, but now that I'm looking back, I can see that those little stepping stones, we're actually making progress. And now, like, it's probably been about 8 months since I've been using the template, because I bought it and then was like, oh, yet another tour to do. But now I can look back on those 8 months and actually see that this work was worthwhile.
Yeah, I think that when you mentioned the trying to treat the money in the checking account like a mini emergency fund, I think it's actually more similar to a line of credit, because it creates a domino problem later on, right? It doesn't actually solve the crisis. It just delays when you have to pay for the crisis, so to speak. Because if you would use next month's money to pay for something right now, it would take care of it right now. But you've now created a problem next month when the money that you are going to use is not there. And that's similar to a credit card of, I solved the immediate problem in front of me, but I'm going to have a bill come due 30 days from now. So it's more similar to that. Yeah. And the emergency fund is like becoming your own line of credit of, I can take it from that and I don't have anybody coming knocking at my door that it's due 30 days from now. And I didn't create a problem in my budget 30 days from now either, because my budget and my checking account where I'm actually paying for things is completely separate from my emergency fund. And so if I pull $1,000 from my emergency fund today, it doesn't create a problem in my budget, my normal expenses like my bills and groceries, mm-hmm, and stuff. So I love that you recognize to separate the two of, even if you want to have a month worth of expenses in your checking account, creating an emergency fund in addition to that is very necessary for feeling like you actually have options when unexpected expenses come up.
For sure.
And also paying off a credit card is creating a bigger gap in your budget moving forward, because you eliminate that payment as well. So even though you're not adding money into your savings, eliminating an expense is still expanding how much is available to you compared to what was before, which is great. That's awesome. And that really helps you moving forward as well, to have a little bit more margin, and whatever that minimum payment was, having it eliminated now can free you up to do other things with that too.
Exactly. And it is funny how that one continual expense, and it was a pretty small one, so it wasn't a, mm-hmm, huge minimum payment, $150, but still, that's more breathing room.
Yep. And it changes not just what your numbers look like in your budget, it changes what time frame you're focused on. Because when so much of our money is going to things that happened sometimes months and months ago, right? Like in the case of a credit card, if we put a fairly small, innocuous expense on there, like $800 or something, and then we're paying it in $100 increments, we're going to get 9 months down the road and still be paying for that little $800 expense. And it's, I'm so sick of paying off this thing that, like, in some cases we don't even own anymore, or the experience is over or whatever. And so it just helps to shift you forward.
It really does.
So one of the things you mentioned when you talked about budgeting monthly on apps or paper was having to sit down and comb through a bunch of old transactions, figure out where things went wrong or where things should go. Now that you budget in half month increments per pay period on the template, what does tracking look like for you? How do you keep up with seeing what your plan was versus what's actually happening?
So I really love tracking now, and I have always loved the idea of tracking, but it used to be a huge hassle that would make me so stressed out and frustrated. So currently I have rearranged some of the trackers from the template. They have their own page on the spreadsheet, and I've just shifted them around and adjusted how much space is in each one. Because like the grocery store is a good example to see this. I, for whatever reason, apparently live at the grocery store, and go there like a million times a pay period. So when that was being tracked monthly, there was just no way to manage it. Like I could have a piece, like I could fill up a notebook with my amount of the grocery store and just be drowning in them. But having it split in half, first of all, just decreases the amount of them to keep track of, which is really helpful. But also when there's like less time, sometimes I make my decisions based on if I want to track this expense. And we need paper towels or milk or something like that. And I would like them before the next time I do a big grocery shopping, but I really don't want yet another transaction to track. I'd be like, you know what? Actually, on this day and this day, I can live without those things. And I will make one stop at one multi-purpose store where I can get all of the things on Friday or whatever instead of Wednesday. So again, like I can give myself, like play mental games with myself, really. Mm-hmm. Like these little tools to be like, oh, that's going to decrease the tracking. Therefore, I'm going to be able to keep on top of it better. So it's just easier to manage. Mm-hmm. When it's a shorter period of time. Like I keep coming back to that, but that really is the biggest takeaway, is that the little transactions that add up really create a mess. You let them go too long, but also when it's not realistically possible to track every single one all the time, like to be able to have built-in spots where you can get it back together and then move on with our start in case it got messy. But I will say that I've had more pay periods now where the actual pennies have actually matched up than I ever had with monthly budgeting. And that has come along with being more willing to like give up the neurotic, like chasing down $3.57 transactions through my checking account. So it's just, it's happening more effortlessly, being more successful and more accurate.
Yeah. So truly, yeah, those are all good things. How frequently do you check in? Do you, every time you go shopping, you open your phone and you stick the transaction in? Or do you have a rhythm of every couple of days? How do you trigger to yourself like, oh yeah, I need to be in that?
So when I do a map this in like along my grocery shopping calendar. So I'll like make me kind of just everything when you have a family depends on like
revolves around food. Yeah.
So I like make my meal plan based on what day that I'm going to go. I call it being grocery shopping. And then when I do that, my routine usually goes to Aldi and a couple of other stores. And it takes me a couple of hours. On those days, I track all of those when I'm sitting in the car, usually in the school pickup line, a few minutes to do it. When it's not those days, I try and check in at least once or twice a week to catch all of the little like charges my husband makes when I'm not hounding him down to tell me every charge that he spent in the little gas fill ups and stuff like that. I try and do a couple times a week, just check in and make sure that we have everything. I really like it when I go into our checking account app and have the transactions aren't built up onto more than one page. So I don't have to find them all. You know, I'm doing good if I can just look at that one page and they're it all matches up with my spreadsheet.
Yeah, I love that too. And I like that you mentioned the car pickup line because that's become my natural budgeting time anyways. And it's one of those like in broader habits, I don't want to sit there scrolling on Instagram yet again and finding another reason to be entertained by something that I don't really need to look at. And it's, oh, I could spend this exact same 5 to 10 minutes where I'm sitting here checking in with my budget is just as easy as scrolling on Instagram if I would allow myself to just get on there. And so I have created that rhythm of the car is a good time to check in. And that really helps because I don't think I would check in very regularly if I made it this big production of I'm going to sit down at the kitchen table and I'm going to open my laptop and I'm going to scroll through everything. That would feel more of a barrier to actually following through with it than just open a couple apps on my phone, swipe between Google Sheets and my bank app and just, you know, make sure everything matches up. And that's a rule I've created for myself. Gas and groceries specifically is like you always have this moment after you do either of those things where you're just sitting buckled into the car and you're not driving yet. I was like, I've timed it before and it's under a minute to open it, jot down Casey's gas station, $39.44 or whatever. Like it's under 1 minute. I can do that. And I don't even have to like consciously tell myself that anymore. I did at the beginning. And it's just become a habit for me that pays off because it is so nice to then sit down and do that bigger check-in and be like, oh, I already put that in. Okay. I only have 4 or 5 transactions to look at instead of 10.
Yes. I used to find that, first of all, I would have to make it a big production, but then by the time I was done sorting through all of my transactions and figuring it all out, I was so tired and mentally exhausted that the actual like creating of a budget plan would get pushed off because I was like, well, I just spent an hour and now I don't want to do this anymore. So transactions are quicker. And I do once or twice a month actually pull on my laptop and sit down. It doesn't need to take an hour. Sometimes I do find myself being like, wait, this happened really fast. I'm missing something. So I should stare at this for a while longer and figure it out. So hopefully that will decrease.
Yeah.
But I spend more of that time being like, if I made this change here or made this choice there, that would look like this in terms of my goals. Or we could.
You've gotten to what we said before. Yeah. The time that you've allotted yourself to budgeting is more future focused than past focused, which is that whole goal of take care of what happened in the past, but make it be brief and we want to spend more time planning out what we are excited about, what we're excited about happening in the future, than just there is nothing more draining than trying to comb through weeks of transactions. It's boring. There's not a reward. Like there's not an incentive to it. And I think that's what a lot of people believe that budgeting is. We have that picture in our mind of our mom with like her checking account late at night and the only light that's on is the one over the kitchen table. And we're just going through every little transaction and checking them off. And that's not what it needs to be. And I just, trying to comb through a bunch of old transactions sounds so boring to me. And that's not ever really what I do. I wouldn't have fun with that. And I wouldn't be excited about that. And I think too, with the template, having the ability to actually see future pay periods gives you the opportunity to think about what's going to happen in the future, because you can see that laid out. You're not sitting down on the 28th of the month trying to, for the very first time, write the next month's budget or whatever it's going to be. You look across time, focus on sticking to one pay period at a time, but you do have a little window into a little bit longer into the future than just this current month or this current pay period, which just helps with that perspective too. One thing you mentioned as you were talking about tracking, and it made me think back to what we said about following rules or making up rules, is like, when you talked about shopping and frequently going into the store and you think, oh, I don't want to go to the grocery store today. If I'm also going to go 2 days from now, I can wait 2 days. When we think about those rules, people will ask things like, how do you handle the fact that we always have transactions every couple of days? And I'm like, you don't actually have anybody forcing you to shop every 2 days, right? Like, but it's, we just get in this idea of the thing that we have been doing, we just have to keep doing, right? And so it is refreshing to be like, oh, I could decide that I don't need to shop every 48 hours. And it's that nothing bad's going to happen mentality. Like you said, with like paper towels, can my family go 2 days without paper towels? 100%. Like nothing bad will happen. We'll be totally fine. And I can get them on Friday when I do the big shopping order or whatever. But it makes you a little more creative. And it also makes you realize the things that you don't need. Oh, wait, I have apples and I have oranges. They can go without strawberries, right?
It's so funny that you say that, because I do talk about very specifically budgeting the strawberries.
I'm like, I'm sorry.
They are not in season. Yep. We've eaten all of our fresh ones out of the freezer. You're just going to have to wait. I am not stopping at the store to buy a $5 a pint. I know my son particularly is, will you pack me a little container of sugar to dip my strawberries in? And I'm just like, kid, why? Yeah. What are we doing with
is this a good utilization of our resources?
Yep. I have loved getting a chance to talk about the differences that you have seen in not only the actual numbers, but also in how you feel about your approach to budgeting, how much time it's taking. Do you have any last things that you want to share or ask, or anything that you've noticed in your 8 months of switching from monthly budgeting to budgeting by pay period?
So while we were talking about kids, the one thing that I do want to mention really quickly is as my kids are getting older, everybody wants to do a better job teaching their kids how to budget and how to manage their money. When they were younger, it was much easier to like have a high level view of this without specifics. They weren't asking for things. It was just much easier to be like, we don't have that in our budget right now. But as my kids get older, this especially comes up with they want to go, you know, to the drive-thru to get a treat or whatever. One who particularly loves Starbucks. To be able to have concrete examples of we have this much money budgeted in our Starbucks fund. So if we do this right now, like we can't do it tomorrow. We can't do it on the day when we have this event and we really are going to want to. But also I've noticed with the splitting it into pay periods, I had no idea that I was going to notice such a difference in budgeting based like how I'm able to teach my kids about that. Because it occurred to me that this would come up over and over. But Lam, we never get a treat. We never go to Starbucks. You always say not in the budget, not ouch. But having split it in half, the shorter time period really works for the shorter attention span of a kid too. I can much more specifically have the knowledge right at my fingertips to be like, actually, we went last Tuesday and period ends on Friday. And then we'll have a new opportunity. And this is the thing we're going to do today. So being able to just put in more concrete terms for other people besides myself, reinforce these lessons to myself as well, that on this day, we're going to find something fun to do that doesn't cost any money. And like on Monday, we can get Starbucks and it'll be great. So the idea of, oh, we never and we always can't afford it. Like it isn't true. It can feel that way sometimes with the longer periods of time to go between resetting things.
Yeah. Telling ourselves to wait 3 weeks is hard enough. Telling a 7-year-old to wait 3 weeks is even harder. That feels like an eternity to them. And really for kids too, like I think there's a lot of false fear for parents around ever telling their kids we don't have money for that or we can't afford that, or even just like that's not in the budget. But I like that you're bringing that up, because I really like to push back on parents thinking that the best thing to do for their kids is to never say that we can't afford something. It's a limiting belief and it's gonna make them afraid that we're running out of food or we're running out of money. And it's no, the best thing we can do as parents is help our kids to align what they think about the world with what's actually happening in the world. And even in the world, like in our house, you know, in our four walls, what in their little tiny world. And so to create this idea that we're never going to say no is actually creating a false sense of how money works, you know? And so like to always want to say yes, or to like to say, to try to make up a reason that we can't buy something if the actual reason that we can't buy it is that we don't have money allocated for that. That's not actually going to help them in the long run. That creates, like we talked about earlier with delaying when the problem happens, that just creates a problem that they're really going to have to deal with as an adult when they start working and having a paycheck and they've never encountered the idea of not right now. Where if we as parents can help them practice the idea of not right now, they will grow up to be kids who understand my money can run out, and sometimes I can say yes, sometimes I have to say no, but saying no is something that is helping me, not hurting me.
Yep. Isn't that funny about parenting?
Yeah.
All of a sudden,
you hear the words come out of your mouth and you're like, ooh, I need to do that too. So creating this idea of, I want them to be a money problem solver. So if they're like, I want to buy that and you're saying not right now, what are the different ways that I could solve that problem, so to speak, of buying that? And I think that actually creates much more financially healthy children who grow up into financially healthy adults, is if they have real life practice with understanding that when I say yes to one thing, it means I'm saying no to something else. And so I need to decide what my priorities are.
I agree. I agree with everything you just said. And it's
the thing I've realized is that the best teaching tool I have for that is the actual money in our actual life that I'm actually thinking about all the time.
Yeah. Jessica, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story about budgeting. And I'm excited for you to get to that 1 year mark with the template, even more automatic and even easier than it feels right now.
The more times we can copy and paste, I am getting places.
Love copy and paste over here.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Debt-Free Mom podcast. If you want to join me as a guest on the show, go to dfmpodcast.com. The Debt-Free Mom podcast is hosted by me, Carly Hill, and is produced, edited, and mixed by Kyle Hill. Music for this episode was written by Kyle Hill. Hit subscribe wherever you're listening to join in with every new episode as we grow our confidence and contentment in our personal finances.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.